But today we'll look at a time that's coming. It really is here today, but it's coming greater as we approach the return of the Lord. And the intent of today's message is to show that a time of separation is coming. And this separation will be made by God. And it will be a lot better for us if we allow the Holy Spirit to separate us now from the things of this world instead of having God to separate us from the things of His world. And His separation lasts a lot longer than the world. So the thing is a time of separation, that God's going to have a time of separation finally where everybody's going to be separated. The sheep are coming this way and the goats are going this way. Or the tares are going this way and the wheat's going this way. There is a time of separation that's coming. You hear me, church? Now, we can either be separated today or we can wait and be separated later on by God. And I'll tell you, if we look at the scriptures today, it's a lot easier to be separated today with the Holy Spirit instead of having God separate. When He separates us, and I'm talking about separating us, removing us from Him, it's all over with. It's done. So what we need to look at our lives today and be encouraged that a time of separation is coming. And everyone will be under that separation, some for the good, some for the bad. But we want to do to make sure that when we're separated, that we go with the good. Amen? I want to share with you scriptures today from the book of Matthew. I will be in chapter 22 for a little while. I'm going to start with verse 1. And my Bible has a little heading on it. It says it's the parable of the marriage feast. Okay? A marriage feast. Has anybody ever been to a wedding? Best part of the wedding isn't the I do part, it's eating afterwards. Amen? Except for ours, honey. Yeah. Ours was when I said I do. Yes, yes, yes. The catering we had at Robson's restaurant had nothing to do with it. Oh, we're Matthew chapter 22. I'm going to read from verse 1 to start with. And Jesus answered and spoke to them again in a parable, and He said this. He said, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. And he sent out his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding feast. They were unwilling to come. Again he sent out another slave, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fattened livestock are all butchered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast.'" He got it all done. There's no preparation. He didn't say bring a covered dish. No, he didn't. He didn't say come 2 hours early and set the table. He said, "It's all done. It's everything that come," they say. "But they paid no attention and went their way, one to his own farm, another to his own business. And the rest seized his slaves and mistreated them and killed them. But the king was enraged and sent his armies and destroyed those murderers and set their cities on fire. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main highways, and as many as you find there, invite to the wedding feast.' And those slaves went out into the streets and gathered together all they found, both evil and good, and the wedding hall was filled with dinner guests. But when the king came in to look over the dinner guests, he saw there a man not dressed in wedding clothes. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you come in here without wedding clothes?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, 'Bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness. In that place there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" Wow. So what we have here, a parable that the master was telling us, and he's talking about a king. He's going to have a feast. It's for his son, even. Wow. He invited all the people of the known society to come and eat, Kathy. Come and eat. Boy, I'd be first in line. You know that? And I wonder this. This is my mind speaking, reading this parable. You think of all the rich people in town the king associated with, having this feast for his son. I picture myself maybe someone who does shoe shine. You ever see a shoe shiner? You know, down south they're really popular. You sit down and you buff your shoes out and you pay them for them. And I can see the shoe shiner sitting there, Joe, and buffing out a shoe with one of those rich guys. And here comes a king. One of the king's servants comes to him. Say, hey, Joe Kirker. Say, hey. The king invited you to come to the son's feast. Everything's ready. Everything's cooked. You just need to come. And I think this guy's sitting there, oh, man, if I make enough money today, I'll go to McDonald's and get me a dollar hamburger. But listen, this guy here, he's being invited to a feast. And wow, that's awesome. And Joe sits there and thinks for a minute. You tell the king I'm not coming. I got better things to do. What would that shoeshine boy think? Man, are you nuts? You have an opportunity to go sit with the king. You can go eat dinner. Here I am. I'm just trying to go to McDonald's. And later on, there might be someone else came and he's buffing their shoe. And then here come the servants again. And say, oh, Daryl, my land's glad I found you. The king's son's getting married. Oh, his bride and his son's coming together. The king want me to personally invite you to come to this dinner. Man, he has a choice fattened calves that have been slaughtered, cooked up. Oh, man. They even got Colonel Sanders' special recipe on the chicken, man. He wants you to come. Here, I'm another buffing this shoe out. Daryl goes, I don't think so. Man. I'm sitting there thinking, oh, man, just ask me. Hey, I'm down here. You know. But he goes out to the whole area, inviting all the people that the king wanted. And they refuse. Nobody's coming. The king's, oh, that's not right. And maybe the king starts thinking, well, all he done for the people. Wow, Kenny Wigsley's not coming. I remember the time that I helped him out. I remember the time that Kenny needed this and I did that. Whatever it is, whatever, the king watches out for his people. And to be invited to the king's table is something else. I mean, that's just, you just don't get that. I'll try it again. So he sends out more people. More of his servants out there to invite the people to come in. Come in! Come in! They all refuse. In fact, he even took the servants, beat them up, and killed them. He says, all right, where are you going to be? He wiped them out. So finally, he told his servants to go out there, the highways and the byways, invite everyone you see to come to the feast. Wow. So I wonder at this moment, that shoeshine boy is down there, and here comes this servant coming, and he's doing this guy's, Joe Kirker is back again, he stepped in mud, so he's cleaning his shoes up. And here comes this servant now, and the shoeshine boy is thinking, okay, he's going to invite this guy again to the dinner. And he stops and says, hey, shoeshine boy. Me? Yeah. Hey, the king wants you to come to dinner. What? Yes, he wants you to come to the wedding feast of the son. How would he react? What do you think? You say he'd be astonished. Would he be, wow, me? Watch out. Boom, boom. Hey, finish your own shoes. Would he be so excited that he would take off for the wedding feast? Or would he have this attitude? Because by now, they've all heard what happened. So would he have this attitude? Me? Yeah, right. Hey, you ask all them rich people, they won't come, and I'm the last one? You invite me to come to the feast? Get out of here. I wonder, where would the heart be of that man? I pray that he would rejoice. You know what I'm saying? That he would rejoice. Now here he is. He's going to go to dinner. He's going to a wedding feast. Oh, my. He's so excited. He's ready to go. But he's never been to a feast before. Never been to the king. So, I go over here and I see Joe Kirker. You're my eyeball sight, you know. If Fred be over with two chairs, I had Fred today. But I go over and I see Joe. I got invited. And Joe says, oh, I did too. I said, oh, man, it's going to be awesome. We're going to the feast. And we're going to eat. Oh, have a great time. And what should I wear? And Joe goes, Wear what you want to. I said, what? Yeah. I mean, look at us, darky. Joe says, hey, listen, he invited everybody else. No one else is going to show up. He invited all his lowlifes, per se. We're just wherever we want. He ought to be glad that we were there. Wow. You're right, Joe. Wow. You know, I've never been to one of these. And I'm glad I asked you because I've probably done something stupid and went out and bought some new clothes or something, you know, for the wedding. But I'm glad my old buddy Joe, I come to him and I'm just glad, Joe, for the advice. Thank you very much. And boy, I go home, I just can't wait. And as I'm getting ready, I think, wow, girl, how many guys' shoes have I polished before that was going to see the king? Ooh. How many guys have I seen, and ladies, when I say guys, that was all dressed up to go in the presence of the king? Well, you know, Fred has been in the king's house before. I remember one time he told a story about how he went to the king's house. Fred, you know, we're going to this feast, buddy. You going? Yeah, I'm going. All right. Well, I talked to Brother Joe. And I like Joe. You know what I'm saying? I really enjoy Joe. We have a great time playing checkers and stuff together, you know. We've been together for, my gosh, years and years and years. I mean, I go back way back, way back, okay? And I really love this man. We've been together through a lot of stuff. And he's going to go to the wedding, Fred, and so am I. But just as I was getting ready, I don't know what it is, but I remember once you went. You went, your third cousin removed twice from your mother's side, married the king's great-great niece, and you went to the wedding. What did you wear, Fred? What did you wear? And then Fred said, oh, man, I went out here on 7th Street to Nico's, and I rented a tuxedo. Man, I got all dressed. I got all dressed up, and boy, I went in there, and we had a fantastic time. So, Starkey, you better do the same thing. You better go all out when you're going to the king's place. So here I am. I'm thinking this now, guys. Huh?
I said, look your best.
Look my best. Well, some people say, I always do, honey. Oh, no. So I'm sitting there thinking, boy, I mean, I got a decision to make. It might be Opal might have some peanut butter pie there. She might be catering this thing, you know. So, okay, now Joe. Joe's never been there before. But Joe's my best friend, my lands. And he tells me just wear what I want. They should be glad that I'm there. And, you know, I understand that. But look at Fred. I mean, Fred has been there. He's been in the king's presence. He says, boy, I better get dressed to the hilt. So, I get picked Joe up at 6:30. I don't make Joe mad. I'm going to pick you up, Joe up, but I'm going to listen to Fred. Joe can do what he wants. So, I'm getting ready to go to the king's party. This goes too well. Like that? Okay. I get all dressed up in my duds. This is a... I don't know how that works, but anyway. Here I am. That's all bigger than... I'm a little bit bigger, huh? So I go, excited going to the king. I go pick up Joe. Come on, Joe, get in my chariot. You hop in. You're like, what are you doing? What do you think you're wearing? Well, Joe, I says, I want to be right. You know, I talked to Fred, and Fred said we need to get dressed up, and we're going to the king's house and stuff. He said, I don't care. I'm going the way I am. Who do you think he is? I pay taxes. You know what I'm saying? I take care of things around here all the time. I'm going to tell that king a few things anyway. You know what I'm saying? Wait to ask me last to come. Boy, Joe's already, he's fit the tie. Boy, yeah, I'm going to teach him a lesson or two. Whoops. Excuse me. Okay, Joe, get in here. So then we arrive. And ahead of us, Fred's already gone in. Him and Brenda's already gone. They look back and wave at us. Hi. I find out Fred's wearing the same type of garment I am. So here me and Joe, we go in. We go into this feast. Oh, my. It's fantastic. It's just the food, the aroma. There's a whole table of Opal peanut butter pies over there and stuff. And back in the corner is Carol White's chocolate cake. Mm-hmm. Yep, yep, yep. Oh, right here is my wife's instant pudding. That's a family joke. That's a family joke. What was it? You made pudding one time? Okay, okay. It's out of love. It's out of love, honey. So we go in. And here comes the king. He walks out. Man, this place is packed. And he walks out. He looks around. All the people showed up. Come to honor his son. Man, I get the chance to talk to him. You know, thank you for inviting me. I'm just glad to be here. I really am. He looks around and he sees Fred. Hey, Fred, see you again. He looks and he sees Joe. And he looks around. And he looks at Joe again. Everybody else here is dressed for the wedding feast. But Joe, who's ready to tell the king a few things, to let him know what he thought, he has an opportunity. As the king walks up and say, Joe, I'm honoring my son. Where's your wedding clothes? And right there you had the opportunity to say, well, I'll tell you something, king, your tax is too high, and I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do that, and I've been here. What happened? You're speechless. Because you knew that even before you come, that you should be dressed properly for it. You knew it. But you just try and be rebellious. Try and be a macho, okay? Even the king gave you the opportunity to tell him why. He's speechless. He's, all right. Take him out. Take him out. Throw him outside. And where there's gashing and whining and weeping of teeth. Got removed. See, what you forgot, Joe, whether you like the king or not, whether you have respect for him or not, he is still the king, and go into his presence. You have to be dressed for his presence. I'm not yelling at you. I know you're so sensitive, buddy. I love you, man. I love you. I love you. I love you. Oh. But you forgot that he is still king. That he rules. That he's reigned. That he shall be approached on his level and only on his level. If you want to be in his presence, you want to come to the feast he invited you to, that you'll down yourself in his clothing and come into his presence the way he wants to. See, many of these folks, including myself, they had no clothing to wear for a king. They didn't. So they approached the door wanting to come in. You got something I can wear, Maggie? You know? You're in charge of the king's clothing. Well, here. Just take this off. Come here, Joe. Stand up a second. I want to redeem you. Stand up a second. Well, yes. Yes, Maggie said, well, I got something you can wear. So she takes the king's own clothing. I got to do that one. I know. But look what the king. He went to the king and said, man, I'm not worthy to come into your presence. I have nothing to wear. The king says, that's all right. I got the clothing for you. He took his own clothing and put it on Joe, for Joe could enter into this feast because how much he loved Joe, how much he wanted to honor his son. That he even clothed him for him. It's the same way with us today. We can't enter in the presence of God with anything that we have. We are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. We are called into the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But we cannot approach Him with anything. We have nothing that's good enough to wear in His presence. We cannot approach God with anything. So what does he do? He loves us so much that he took the blood of his son and made it available for us. As we clothe ourselves in the blood of Christ from the head to the toe, we are now worthy in the eyes of God to enter his presence. See, God even provides the clothing we need to wear in his presence. So his blood washes our sins as white as snow. And that one guy, not really taking things serious, thinking it was a joke, was cast out of the party, refusing to honor the king. I'll take it off, anybody? You have a seat there, Joe.
Okay.
See, there was a time of separation. Look what happened. I mean, I was prepared for the dinner, was I not?
Yeah.
I was clothed in the gown. I picked up Brother Joe. We're going together. Okay. So maybe Joe's like, well, I'm pretty decent. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, Starkey's clothes, he's dressed pretty nice. I'll hang around Starkey then. You know what I'm saying? I'll kind of blend in. But even our friendship, a time came of separation. We entered into the presence of the king. It was time to separate. What would happen to me if I had not talked to my brother Fred, who's been there? I hadn't talked to him about how do I enter the presence of a king. If I just, hey, my old buddy, we've been through a lot together. Man, we worked at Edmonds for 40 years together, and we used to do this and that and the other. If I just listened to him, I'd be cast out in darkness. A time of separation is coming, and it's either coming now that we separate ourselves from the things of this world, or in front of the King of Kings, he'll separate us. And it really depends on who you're listening to. Amen, church?
Amen.
Who are you hanging out with, church?
Amen.
You know, who has the greatest influence in your life? You know? And you might say, oh, Pastor, you or this. No, it's Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. The only reason I can get clothed today is because of Jesus Christ. I need the same clothing that you do. You know? I mean, if you go up there and say, hey, St. Peter, I know Starkey. Who? But when you say, hey, I know Jesus Christ, my Savior, Lord, say, come on in! It's Him. He's the one that we look at. He's the one that we keep our eyes on. And when we get our eyes off of Him and we start listening to other people, they might have good intentions. Jeremiah had good intentions. You know, he just sped up the taxes. He just sped up the way the king was running things. I'll tell him. I mean, in real life, have you ever heard people tell you that before? Wow, who you wait till I talk to God? I'll tell him a few things.
I
want to know this. I want to know if there's a God. Why in the world all this sickness, disease, and all this death and dying going on? I'll ask him that. You don't have to ask him. He already tells you. Sin came into the world. He was in charge of making everything, but he gave you control. He gave me control. He gave his children control, his creation. That's why. Like he said earlier when I shared from my heart, his heart's breaking what's going on in this world. He never wanted any of this to happen. But we choose, and we chose as a people to get away from God. But he still had the remnant here, did he not? We still worship Him. We still honor Him, whatever's going on in our life. He wants us to do that. He wants us to do that. Amen?
Mm.
Revelation chapter 19, verse 9. And He said to me, and this is John the Revelator that's sharing this, right, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And remind me back in Matthew when we was talking about he invited everyone. He invited everyone to come to be his dinner guest. He said both evil and good. Both evil and good. Now he didn't say righteous. They weren't at that point yet. But you know that in the world today, we have people we look at and say they're evil. And we have some people we look at and say they're good. Okay? That's what Christ did. He came for the evil and the good of the world through His blood to make Him righteous. Okay? Now, at that wedding dinner, Joe, that we went to, under the king's garments, who knows what we're standing aside at one time? You know what I'm saying? There could have been even politicians there, Joe. People have a background that, oh, you'd be shaking at. But under the king's garment, that's all taken care of. All been forgiven. And that's the way it is of Jesus. As we come to Him, as He has invited us to come, and we do that, we are covered by His blood when we accept Him. He dresses us for this marriage supper of the Lamb. But the sad thing of it here in verse 14 and back in Matthew, I already read this to you. It says, "For many are called, but few are chosen." Many are called, but few are chosen. And what does that mean? Few of them accept Jesus. You were called to dinner, was you not? You got an invitation. I was buffing your shoe when they gave you an invitation. You were called. But when the feast came, you weren't chosen because you failed to dress for the king. And we need to do the same thing. We've all been called. But we've got to make sure we dress for the king. It's only through the king's wardrobe that we can get into heaven. Do you want a water there? Yeah, okay. In John 14:6, Jesus shared with us that I am the way, and I'm the truth, and I'm the life. That no one comes to the Father but through me. See, the man was separated from the party because he didn't ask how to dress. So the time of separation took place. Maybe a friend of his told him it didn't matter how he dressed for the party. Of course, a friend might not be going himself. So he should not have got the information with someone who's not been there. A time of separation. And folks, sometimes we find ourselves doing the same thing maybe, that we are talking to people about salvation, about eternal things, what heaven's going to be like, what forgiveness of sins are, what sins truly are. We're talking to people who have nothing to do with God. You know, everyone has an opinion, amen? Okay, I won't go down that saying, but everybody has an opinion. But opinions mean nothing. Everyone has a belief. But what you believe in means nothing. It's what God said is what is important. Amen? See, sometimes you hear people say, well, Judy, I know the Bible says this, but I believe it this way. And we've heard people say that before. I have, you know. Well, why would you believe it this way if God already told you it this way? Do you believe in God? Do you believe He loves you? He cares for you? Yeah. Okay, if He said this, then believe it. But, well, you know why we don't want to believe it? Because if we believe it, then we know we're in sin. Then now we have to do something, Bonnie. We'll be convicted of that. So we choose, and then sometimes what happens, we choose to hang around people that believe like we do. Amen? Yeah. I mean, what you do right now, Christians come together here. We hang out together because we believe that we worship God. But sometimes in order for us to feel better about ourselves, we hang around people who are struggling in the same area that we are. And that can be very dangerous at times. It really is. It really can be. You know, maybe you think, well, hey, we all got the same problem here. Let's all get together and we'll talk about that, okay? Well, that could be a good idea as long as you bring Daryl in over here, who has been delivered from that problem, and he can tell me how he did that. Amen? And then we can pray, encourage, and say, Daryl, what kind of scripture do you have for us today? And we can help one another. But what we run into a lot of times, we get three or four people having the same issues coming together, and they just keep going around in circles because they don't know how to get delivered from that. Because they haven't been yet. So we look towards someone who has been. And again, that goes back here in the church many, many times when you hear the testimonies on Sunday. It's not a talk session. It's testifying what God's done. Now this morning I just testified about how I fixed this thing here because of the Lord. Maybe minor to you, but someday it might be very important. When you think, oh man, I need this fixed right now. Wait, what did the preacher do? Oh, Lord, give me wisdom. I need to fix this. Man made it. You give God, you give man the wisdom, give it to me. Yes. Boom, whatever it is, boom. encouragement. We have people testify a lot of times, delivered from drugs or alcohol, pornography or lying or whatever ways of life they've come from. Wow, they give them God the glory, but remember that. Because when we need delivered from that, how did you do that? How did you, I want that, how'd it happen? And allow them to share with you. Oh, they might say, well, I'll tell you what, I went and talked to the preacher and he just showed these scriptures to me and we prayed together. Come on, let me take you to the preacher. Okay. Yeah. Don't ever be embarrassed. Amen?
Amen.
Don't be embarrassed. We all need a doctor. That's Dr. Jesus. Now, a time of separation is coming. I'll share this as it might be the last one today. I'm not sure. You know me. But a time of separation. Now, I always keep this out here just to remind yourselves and myself. That's what you come from. That's dirt. So never think that you're so high and mighty. This is what you come from. Without God, you'd be doing nothing. Even if you're sitting here today, you're sinning all the time. God gave you life. You didn't give it to yourself. And what you do with that life is up to you. But that's it. God took this dirt and He formed it in His image. And He put His breath into it and became a living soul. You know, that's... That can, you know... That's humbling right there. And that's what we return back to. Our body does. Our spirit doesn't. That's us. That's dirt. We praise the Lord. Amen. I gotta take this off here, otherwise I'll get... I might need that again sometime. Sometimes this represents you and me. This is an egg. Awesome egg. And I know I don't know what... Oh, I'm falling apart. Sorry. I don't know which came first, the chicken or the egg. Do you?
Chicken.
Who won? All right. See me after church. You know how you knew that? Because God created all the animals first. Yes. Amen. Wow. But the contents inside of this egg has been together ever since this egg existed. Amen? Now, I haven't opened this up yet, but I'm assuming this. This is a farm fresh egg, so I'm taking a guess on this. That you're going to find the white of an egg in there and a yolk. They get together fantastic. They make it an egg. But... someday you grab a recipe. I'm not much of a baker or cook, but I talked to my wife on the way in. If you're going to make meringue, and that's that fluffy stuff, okay, you use the white of the egg and not the yolk. The yolk is the yellow part. So you take your egg and you crack it. Now this thing has been together for a long time. Okay? Don't need a shell anymore. Time of separation. Now there is, maybe you see it or not, but there is the white stuff and the egg. Perfect together. I mean, they're like, should never be separated. Look like they should always be that way. Kind of like maybe me and Joe, when I talked earlier, always been together all our life. Friends. Oh, man. But when the invitation came, we had to be a certain way. And the time came that we were separated. Amen? So here we go. I need the whites of this egg. I don't need the yellow. Okay, well, that's what the recipe says. So I go in. Oops. Oops. Just a sec. I thought it'd be easier.
Don't mess it up. It will not be meringue.
It won't be meringue now. Okay. All right. Well, see, there I am. It says in the recipe to separate it. It says to separate it. Oh, okay, that's simple enough. Mm. So, if I go to Joe, come here, Brother Joe. I need you to separate the yolk. I need it. Yeah, I think that. Hey, Aaron, grab me a towel, will you? Maybe a couple of them.
Like a wet towel.
A wet towel, yeah. So what I want you to do, I got a recipe, but I need you to separate the yolk from the white. Okay.
I'm like Starkey. I'm not very good at
it. I need to
takes care of it.
Hey, Aaron, can you give me a wet towel, buddy? A cloth, wet one. Yeah. So anyway, I can't do. I got the recipe. It has to be separated. Joe, I need help, buddy. Okay, he volunteered. I'll do this. You're right ahead.
Go ahead.
Hey, want me to hold it up for you? It might be easier.
Okay.
There we go.
I did too good.
But it's not going to do me any good. I have to be separated. I mean, oh, I tell you what. Well, we got a towel coming. You have the first bath. I'll take the second one. You know what I'm saying? See.
Are you going to separate the next one?
No,
That's what you're.
Oh, thank you.
Just leave it there.
Yeah, I'll leave it up here. Thanks, Joe.
Yep, sir.
Thanks a lot.
I'm going to take cooking lessons.
Yeah, okay. But here I am. Eggs perfect, been together. I get this recipe. In order to do the recipe, I have to separate the yolk and the white. You saw my attempt at it. So, hey, Joe, I'll help you out. You know what I'm saying? I can do it. He'll come right up here. But his job was just as bad as my job. So finally I say, does anyone know how to separate a yolk and a white?
Yes.
Raise your hand, Bonnie. I set this up. So, okay, thank you. So Bonnie said, yes, I have. I have many, many times. I bake. I do all kind of stuff. I cook for Precious all the time. Well, Bonnie, come help me, will you?
Sure.
So, as I'm expecting her to come up here, grab this thing, crack whatever it is, I have done one thing. I need to separate the yolk from the white. I found someone who has done it before, several times before. How do you do that?
Well, it's very easy when you have this little instrument to do it with.
There you go.
So, if you hold this for me, can you practice?
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Look at that.
Thank you there.
Yeah. Mind the days I used to smoke. No. But look at this little instrument. Look at it, Joe. Isn't that amazing? It's probably 49 cents. How simple it is. You know, we'd be in there all day long trying to look at the mess we make out of things. But when I went and asked someone who's done this before, and I asked Bonnie Thursday, you know, about this. She said, I got an egg separator. I said, bring it in. I mean, look at that. That's amazing. I didn't know they made such a thing. I said, wow. Thank you very much. And folks, it's the same way in our life today. God says, come out from among them. Separate yourself from the world. And what we try to do at times, we try to separate ourselves from the world by separating ourselves with the world. And we can't do that. We need to target someone who has separated himself from the world, not being influenced by the evil and the sin. And we look around this room right now and think, okay, if I really want to separate myself from the world, I got somebody I want to follow. I'll follow Fred. He's so quiet. I never heard him ever get in any mischief and trouble. I'll follow Fred. Or maybe I'll follow Bill Hopkins. Bill's always quiet, well-mannered. Speaks well. If I follow Bill around, I'll learn how to separate myself from the world. No. With Fred or Bill, on the greatest intentions they have, they're not perfect. But there's one who separated himself from this world, who walked among us, lived among us, went through every temptation there was, overcame every temptation, and he never sinned. His name is Jesus the Christ of Nazareth. He is a way that we separate ourselves from the world. Now, we can hang around those, ourselves as Christians, to encourage one another. But encouragement should always come back to the Word of God. Amen? It's not what Daryl did. It's what Daryl was able to do with Christ working through him. Amen? You know what I'm saying? That's where our focus has to be. We have to separate ourselves from the world, but do it with an instrument that was created to separate us from the world, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, what comes to mind real quick is when the Lord says, "Take my yoke." Take my yoke. It is light and easy. And using the yoke of the egg there. But Corinthians 6:14, the scriptures tell us, don't be unequally yoked. Which means do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with dark? And that's reading from the American Standard. And do not be bound, do not be yoked together. To be bound together, to be tied in together, okay? Now, me and Joe can walk down the street together. We won't do that. It's cold out there. We won't be bound together. We'll have a little short walk together, okay? But to be bound together, let's say Brother Joe's not a Christian, and we come together because he's good at making money, and we come together and form a partnership, okay? The Bible says don't do that. Don't be unequally yoked. If you're going to be yoked, if you're going to be bound to something, make sure it's a Christian. It's the Word of God that you're bound to. And that's what he's talking about. And he goes also in marriage. As a Christian, marry a Christian. You know, how many ladies got married? I'll change him. It didn't work. You know, my wife couldn't even change me, but the blood of Christ did. Amen? Amen. And that was touch and go for about 20 years. But don't be unequally yoked, he says. Don't be bound to those. Because what happens then is that we think a lot of times, and we see all the time in the Word of God, that as we hang around those who are in the world, and they're our friends, and it's who we associate with, and we go out with, and we do this with, we don't change them, they change us. And the reason why, even as a born-again Christian, we still was born with a sin nature. And sometimes that old nature will try to raise up, and all it needs is a little bit of encouragement. Amen? I mean, come on, it don't take a whole lot, does it? And same way with walking in Christian faith. We can say, hey, brother, you kind of down today. You know, the Lord said, and that lifts you back up. Wow, yes, you're encouraged, okay? It could be the opposite also. You can, like you say, well, you're down today, yeah. Well, Joe, let's go to get drunk. You know, at least for a couple of hours, we won't have to worry about things, you know what I'm saying? Well, okay. Either way. Oh, 2 Corinthians. I didn't say that. I'm sorry. Oh, it's over here. See, when I was typing, the 2 was over here, and then it went over here, so I'm sorry. Thanks, Mom. 2 Corinthians 6:14 is the one about do not be bound together with unbelievers. And folks, again, we're in the world but not of the world. So that means if your association time and time again is with those who are not born again, now you have a very, very struggling time with your relationship with the Lord because you might be hearing the Word of God on Sundays and maybe you make it on Thursday nights. But the other days during the week, if you're letting the world occupy more of your time, it's going to be very, very, very hard, a great struggle for you to walk this Christian life because you got more of the negative coming in than the positive. You hear me, church?
Yes.
This is a recipe for us to be for growth, for strength. Romans 12:2, and we've shared this about every week, I think since first of the year. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable." So again, don't be conformed to the world. He's saying be separated from the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And what's the Word of God? It's Jesus. Again, allow the Lord access totally to you. Continue to read the Word of God. Let your mind be renewed. And what happens in these situations that you find yourself running off the mouth real quick, more the Word of God comes in, it'll be the Word of God coming out. Amen? You can be around somebody. You might run into an acquaintance, and you're talking to them for a few hours. And they might be the most ungodly person you ever talk to, every word is the bad words and stuff, and you walk away, they're in here now.
Yeah.
Amen? They are in there. I mean, they were there once before I evicted them through the blood of Jesus, but they're there, they're being tormented again. Man, I got cast down them thoughts. Oh. Because next thing you know, your mouth opens up. Have you ever cussed? As a Christian, you ever cussed? Ah! Almost did. That wasn't planned. Oh. Satan's trying. Oh. Yes. And sometimes you wonder, how did I get in there? I mean, I was a pastor for almost 6 months out home milking cows. I get kicked by a cow so hard. I cussed. I felt so bad. I turned to my brother-in-law and I said, I'm sorry, I should never have said that. I won't tell you what he said. I said, God, where's it at, God? I've been born again for 5 years. But it came. I'm still renewing my mind. And praise God, that was 10 years ago now. But if I listen to it all the time now, you know how easy it would be again to come back up? But I listen to the Word of God. It comes out. That's renewing of our mind. Yeah, we've all had them. Where did it come from? Or you ever get a thought in your head, wow, where did that come from? The evil one, he's pretty slick. We're renewing our mind through the Word of God. And in 2 Corinthians 6:17, I kind of shared that earlier, just about done. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separated, said the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord. Again, come out from the midst of them. Come out of the world. Meaning, you're in the world, but don't be of the world. But don't touch anything that's unclean. And what he's saying there, if it's sin, leave it alone. If it's sin, don't sit beside it. If there's a pile of sin right there, if I sit down beside it, I've got a chance of it rubbing off on me. If this is sin here, I'll sit over here in Jason's lap. Away from me. I won't sit on anybody. Purposely. Purposely. And sometimes we want to sit, how close can we get to this? Because sin can be entertaining. You know, it can be. Oh, I love this comedian. Oh, Ron White. He's hilarious. Oh. He's one of the most vulgar people that I know on TV. He started out polite. I mean, at least what I saw. Remember that roadshow thing with the Get Her Done guy?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he talked jokes about tater salad and stuff like that. But then when he separated himself, he's vulgar. I mean, now if you see Ron White on TV and you go to it, it's going to be terrible. But he started out, at least when I saw him, as a pretty decent comedian. You know? And so what happens there at times? A greater audience is in evil, right? There's more evil out there than there is Christians. And so if you want a greater number, if you want a greater influence, if you want a greater money, tell dirty jokes. Well, we got to find ourselves to come out from amongst them and don't go in there, even if they offer you a free dinner. Come on, Daryl. I'm going to listen to this guy down here in Zanesville. We get a free dinner. Well, I don't know. His boat. Oh, come on. Just don't pay no attention. Just close your ears. Well, I got a free dinner. Well, see how you're enticed, you know? You know, the best way to get to any man is through our bellies, right? Well, sometimes it turns in, well, like we saw in the garden, it can turn in very, very bad for us.
Serious consequences.
Matthew 13:24, just a couple pages back where I was at earlier. Again, to show you that we need to go ahead and separate us now because the time of separation is coming. In verse 24, Matthew 13, it says, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went away. Or for a lot of us, it would be onions. If you ever had a wheat field, went out and picked onions in it, okay? Onions no good for cows to eat. But when the wheat sprang up and bore grain, then the tares became evident also. And the slaves of the landowner came and said to him, sir, do you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? And he said to them, an enemy has done this. And the slaves said to him, do you want us then to go and gather them up? But he said, no, at least while you are gathering up the tares, you may root up the wheat with them. Allow both to grow together until the harvest. In the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather up the tares and bind them in the bundles to burn them up, but gather the wheat into my barn. So again, he's talking about a time of separation is coming. And God created the world. He made mankind beautiful in the Garden of Eden. Okay, good seed. But sin came, and now we got tares and we got wheat. So you could be sitting somewhere and anywhere, hanging around with a friend, and that friend could be a tare. Okay? And you're supposed to be the wheat. Well, if you hang around with them, but you keep your eyes on the Lord and follow Him, there'll be a time of separation when the Lord says, okay, boom, come on, church, I'm taking you home, and the tare will be left behind. But if you hang around the tare too much, you might be under the influence of it, and next thing you know, you miss it. That tare might be your best friend, and you try to get advice from them from everything. You know, and the next thing you know, you're thinking the way that they are. You're not thinking the way of the Lord. That you're doing things yourself. Or with this tare helping you. And you think, well, I must be doing the right thing. Because maybe there's something in that friend that you see, well, they're a nice person, they help people, they're very friendly, all this stuff here, which is awesome to do. That's what we call a good person. But if they're not born again, and you're getting advice from them for the kingdom of God, you're building your whole entire future upon what someone believes or thinks, and not the Word of God. Not the Word of God. Let the Word of God, let God be truth and every man be a liar, the Word of God says. But a time of separation. So, like today, we can choose through the Holy Spirit to separate ourselves from the world. I mean, separate ourselves of the things of the world. Doesn't mean you're going home tonight, pack your bags, and go on top what is that mountain up there by Mr. and Mrs. Aikens? Spring Mountain area. It doesn't mean you're up there and live. You're still here, but separate yourself from the things of the world. Don't be influenced by the things of the world. Because the time of separation is coming, and it's coming very, very soon. In Matthew 13, verse 47, it says, again, that's the same chapter, verse 47, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet cast into the sea and gathering fish of every kind. And when it was filled, they drew it up on the beach, and they sat down and gathered the good fish into containers, but the bad they threw away. So it will be at the end of the age that angels shall come forth and take out the wicked from among the righteous and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Gnashing of teeth. Again, a time of separation. And you notice that the fish is all swimming together, were they not? Yeah, the good fish and the bad fish are all in the same water. Maybe sharing the same food. Having the same type of lifestyle of good places to live and eat and all that kind of stuff. But some was considered good and some was considered bad. And the only way you can tell which ones are the bad ones is if you're a good one following the good ones. Amen? Amen. Don't get wrapped up in this world. Don't be following things that's not of the Lord. No matter how enticing they might seem, because the time of separation is coming. We should separate now. Now I'll close, and I will close on this one here. And I'm going to bring it in a nutshell. I'm going to give you the verses. You write it down, but I'm just going to explain what happened. Exodus chapter 12, verse 35 and 41. And then again in Exodus chapter 32, verses 27 and 28. I'll just bring it together like this. We're talking about Egypt. We're talking about Moses. We're talking about God's people being enslaved for hundreds of years. And they cried out to God, save us. And what happened? Remember the 10 plagues that took place? You're all familiar with the 10 plagues? How they were bound in Egypt, and finally Pharaoh says, get out of here. And so when the people left, the 600,000 men, roughly, and not counting the women and children, when they left, man, they took everything. They took gold, they took silver, they took food, they gave them everything. They took all the stuff. Set free, amen? And they're headed to the promised land that they wanted. Oh man, God has set us free. So we're all marching down the road. Boom, 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 boom. But as time went on, some of them started grumbling a little bit but the food. You know, they didn't care much for the food. Kind of like here once in a while. Then one day, as they see the blessings of God on their life and they've all been celebrating together, Moses goes up on the mountain and talks to God. And God says, okay, Moses, this is what I want you to do. And he gives us the Ten Commandments. And again, I'm just paraphrasing this. Moses is gone for how long? 40 days. Okay. Now, in bondage for 400 years. Okay. Set free after 400 years. Following God. We were no longer slaves. Eating manna. Celebrating. Having a great time. Ah. Oh. Moses goes on the mountain to talk to God. The God who separated him. God who delivered him. God who blessed him. God who made sure they had all the silver and gold and all the food they had. He goes up to talk to God. While he's gone, they start worrying. Where's he at? Where's Moses at? He's been gone a week. Been gone 2 weeks. So they get scared. They think, well, at least back in Egypt, man, we had food, we had better times, we had better things going on. Oh, so what happened? That quickly, they go back to the old lifestyle. And they take this gold and stuff, which is going to be used for the Lord, and they're building this golden calf. Are you familiar with this? They build a golden calf. They start worshiping false idols. How quickly, just a few people in the crowd probably started talking about it, and he convinced everyone else to go back to the old ways. Yeah. And there they are, worshiping this golden calf, no longer paying attention to the God of hosts who delivered them. And they are partying down, celebrating, and pretty soon here comes Moses. He's excited. But he's bringing down the Ten Commandments. This is what God wants us to do. He gets down there, what happens? He sees what's going on. Boom, he throws down the Ten Commandments. Long story short, gets back up, sees God again. God tells him, okay, separate them. Separate them. The ones who wants to be heathens, separate them. So the sword was drawn, and 3,000 men was slain that day. And just a few weeks earlier, they were all celebrating being released. They were celebrating being set free from the bondage that they had. But because one or two started talking about the old days, and they started remembering the old days better than what they were doing about the modern days, it just got a whirlwind. And next thing you know, everyone was falling back into the ways of the old days, the old sin life. But God, being merciful, gave them another chance. But 3,000 of them would not. No. They were separated. So God says to us today, separate yourself today from the things of this world. Separate yourself from the things of destruction. Do not get close to the things of this world, because all it wants to do is kill, steal, and destroy. Separate yourself today before God has to separate us into eternal fire forever and ever and ever. You know, it's been hard probably down there, and maybe might have been a few people when they're getting ready to build that golden calf. Say, no, don't, Joe. I'm picking on you all day today, Joe. Mm. Joe, don't. But how quickly they would have turned on him. Oh, get out of here. We'll do our own ways. You know, maybe shut up. I don't know. There's always a remnant somewhere still sticking up for God. Same thing in our lives today. As you are being influenced by the things of this world, you have to say, no, I don't want that. Are you checking? No, I'm not going to take that. No. Why? Well, I love God. I'm not going to do that to my body. God created this body. You know, I'm sorry, but you know, you're a friend of mine, but I'm sorry, I just cannot associate with you. You take me back down a road I don't want to go again. Separating ourselves from the things of this world. Now, there may be a time, and I'll share that Brother Jack said I can do this. Brother Jack is in the hospital. He's been recovering. He's being set free from alcoholism. I can share that. He said to. He's got about 6 months. He'll probably be in the program. His heart's desire is when he gets back out on his feet is to be able to go back and help those who are struggling where he has been for so many years. Amen? Yeah. That's his heart. And he says, I can share these things because he wants other people to pray for him, but to know that times can get tough, but God can deliver us, and to continue to keep him in prayer. But his desire is, once he is separated, strengthen to help others. But we have to separate ourselves first. We have to let God be in our life. We have to follow him in order for us to even have a chance of trying to help someone else. Amen? A time of separation is what God is sharing with us today. Maybe you find yourself this morning, maybe you're wrapped up in some type of sin. Maybe you've been struggling with something. Maybe you're so wrapped up in something that if you quit it, or you turn away from the sin, that the repercussion you think would be too great. Maybe it'd be an embarrassment. Maybe you hit the front page of the paper. I don't know. But God says, come out from amongst them. And we've all been somewhere in our life. We've all got things that we have taken place, I would say, that we never want to be on the front page of the paper. We don't want to be embarrassed by it, but I'm telling you, the Bible says that we confess our sins, that God is righteous, that He will forgive us of our sins, and we turn away from it. So, if what you have to say, no more, I'm done. And they say, well, if you don't, I'm going to do this. Well, you do what you got to do, but for me and my household and for myself, I choose to serve the Lord. I'll no longer participate in this type of activity or do this. Or, sure, I did that years ago. You already know about it. You're going to turn me in? Turn me in if you want to. I'm no longer going to be intimidated by the evil of this world. If I see you today, just call upon the name of the Lord today. Seek His face for forgiveness of the sins. Seek Him for wisdom. Just surrender more and more of your thought process, of your life, your activities, everything that you have. Just say, okay, God, it's yours. Show me how you want me to use this. Folks, there's nothing here that we have that we're going to take with us. Now, when he's coming soon for this church. This will all be left behind. I just pray today that you be strengthened in your spirit, that your faith will increase. So the temptation, they come to each one of us. The temptation comes to us that you'll be raised up above that in the name of Jesus. You can cast down these things that's trying to tear you or your family apart. Then you realize who you are in Jesus Christ. You're a new creation. The old things are in the past. This is a new day. And I hope we celebrate in Christ Jesus as stronger today than it ever has been before. He is our hope. And there's no one or no things for us to ever give up on. To allow Him to help set you free from the things of this world. If you allow Him to work through you, He'll guide you in the ways of the prayer to help set others free. The things, these generation curses that might be hanging around your family tree, I just curse them today and say in the name of Jesus, that these chains would be broken and the eyes would be open. And those who have been inflicted and wrapped up in these generation curses, Lord, that they will come. That this gap be removed in their life that's taken them away from you, and that, God, that you would enter it in, that they would seek you, that they would just be so convicted of their sin that they would want to just feel that love of yours, Lord. And may we here as your servants, may we go around and invite them to the marriage supper of the Lamb that's coming very, very soon. May we share the forgiveness that we received. Share with them, saying how awesome you are, and that the lives that they're in, that there is still hope. But the only hope there truly is through Christ Jesus, Lord. God, we ask today that your hand would be upon ourselves today and upon our household, Lord. And God, we lift up our spouses to you today. And our children, and our children's 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 children's, and our neighbors, Lord, our nation. We just ask your hand to be upon this nation again, God. We seek the forgiveness of our own sins today, Father, and the sin of this nation. God, we know your heart is breaking. And God, we pray for wisdom on these upcoming elections, Lord. Lord, we seek you, God, that you would show us, not through political parties, not even through the news media, because that's so distorted, but God, that we seek your face through the Holy Spirit, we be guided and see which one in leadership to place that would be pleasing to you, that would honor you, that would be best for you and your kingdom, not this kingdom here on the earth, God, but what's best for your kingdom, that more men and women and children be drawn to that kingdom, God. We thank you for the blessings you've given us as a nation. We thank you for the prosperity we have shared and for the prosperity that we continue to share with those in need, Lord. We thank you for that name above all names, that Jesus Christ conquered sickness and disease, heart disease, cancer, Alzheimer's, dementia, that in the name of Jesus Christ, we just break those yokes right now that's binding. We rebuke the spirit of infirmity attacking this body. And there are organs that you've given us, Father, our lungs, our kidneys, our livers, our pancreas, our colon, our prostates, our eyes and our ears, our bloodstream, our veins, the marrow, and our bones. We say, be healed in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Father, for those sitting here now that have a heavy burden on their heart, let's lift it to you right now, God. We just speak that, yes, that your will shall be done. That you do not delight in your children being in pain. It pains you. Father, for family members right now who have been separated for whatever reason it has, we just speak today that reconciliation will take place. That forgiveness, Father God, will be taking place. Lord, that spirit of pride, of haughtiness, will not be raised up, stopping anyone from receiving or accepting forgiveness, Lord. Father, we thank you, God. And God, to you, may you always be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.